This is Susan D. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. The Yonder Mountain String Band celebrates 20 years on the main stage of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. To honor that occasion, Planet Bluegrass asked bassist Ben Kaufman and his friend, guitarist Adam Igela, to put together a supergroup with a few non-Yonder friends, which they did. That supergroup is opening the festival weekend with a free concert in Mountain Village, known as First Grass. Then Ben and Yonder perform on the main stage in Telluride Town Park on Saturday, June 22nd. Music has been a part of Ben Kaufman's world since he was a boy. Now that he is a man, he still likes making music, but also favors The Color Blue, Skim Milk, and Monty Python. Ben, thanks for joining me to share your story.
Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome. So, Ben, the story of your life suggests DNA had a lot to do with it. And the fact that you're a musician today. Music seems to have been a leitmotif of your entire life. You formed your first band in the sixth grade. So would you please talk about your earliest influences, like your dad, John, who had a big band, I understand. What sounds were you listening to early on that have remained with you today? Who were your earliest influences?
Well, certainly my first influence was my father. I think his dream was always to be in a band himself or to have that be his career. But he didn't necessarily have the same support that I had in pursuing music as a career. But when I was, when I was born, my dad was playing in a band. And at that point, it was a big band. He had a working big band in New England for 25 years or so. And it was the type of thing where every Wednesday we'd go and watch them rehearse, and then they'd play out, and usually I'd go to the shows they did in Boston. And then from there, again, it were people that my father connected with and introduced me to that became my fundamental influences. A music teacher that I had in junior high school was really important to me. He was the first person to put a bass in my hands. Prior to that, I'd been playing piano, and that, just piano lessons like parents make their kids do.
Right.
And I enjoyed it, but the teacher took my father aside and he said, your son is he's a fine piano player, but he isn't a piano player in his soul. He's a bass player. And we didn't know, we didn't know what that really meant. But we trusted him enough to at least give it a shot. And boy, wouldn't you know it, he was spot on. And I really took to the bass, and it's absolutely a part of who I am now. I think, there's the concept of bass playing and what the role of a bass player is, or the role of the bass, especially in a band like a bluegrass band. It sure does complement who I am as a person, or at least who I believe myself to be.
Okay, thank you for that. Then, en route, you took a slight detour from music into film. Why that, and then what set you back on your path to your destiny?
Well, when I was in later junior high school and then into high school, my father introduced me to a man named Kimball Stickney, who would become my biggest musical influence and mentor in my life. And he taught me, all kinds of things. He was a composer and a piano player and a bass player, and he was a husband and a father, and he loved music, but couldn't quite just do music for his career or to support his family. And so he kind of took me under his wing and said, "Hey, so you think you want to be a musician, huh? Well, let me show you what it looks like." Mm-hmm. And he did. And I got to see what it really took for a man to support his family playing music. He was an amazing person and a great bass player. And about one day, my parents called me into the room and said, you know, you have to sit down. We have some bad news. And I guessed, I don't know, you know, you sort of go into a panic, I think, when you hear something like that. And I guessed, you know, 10 different things before I finally calmed down enough. And they told me that Kim had been killed in at a gig. He had picked up, he was covering for a friend of his who was also a bass player for, I don't even know what, a corporate gig or something that was pretty, you know, like a throwaway gig. You just do it for the money or you do it for your friend or whatever.
Yeah.
And a propane tank exploded and he died. And I just, you know, I was, I don't know, 13, 14. And I could not, I just couldn't wrap my brain around how something like that could happen. And so I think, looking back on it anyway, a very natural response was to associate music and, you know, with this pain. And I didn't really have the resources to navigate it or to process it or to grieve properly. And so I kind of stopped playing music or pursuing music, really. And I just figured I'd have to find something else to do. I always felt like a creative person. And so I started to get into video. At that time, video technology was really starting to come into the household. The cameras were still big, but you could do some really cool things with them. So I got into what they call stop motion animation and had a bunch of really fun projects that I did that I guess were pretty cool, and certainly interesting enough to get me accepted to the film school at NYU. And so I went there thinking, probably like a lot of those kids who go to film school, that I wanted to be a director, you know, to make movies. And then as soon as I got to film school, I realized that I had no business being in film school or New York City. I'm looking around at all these kids, and all these other kids feel about film the way that I felt about music. And it sort of dawned on me fairly quickly at that point that I needed to work on my transition to get out of film school, to pursue music, but where and how, I had no idea. I felt really lost. And a friend of mine that I had in New York City, we'd go out and see music together. And we went to see this show from a band called Colonel Bruce Hampton and the Aquarium Rescue Unit. And they had a band opening for them called Leftover Salmon. I'd never heard of them before. But I saw them, and I watched their show, and by the end of their show, I went, like, I had several questions. Who are these guys? What kind of music is this? And where do you make this kind of music? And so I did my research and realized that the Front Range in Colorado was where I needed to be. So it took me 2 years to transition out of film school there, and then move across the country to Boulder. I sort of was just killing time at the university there in Boulder, not really studying anything. My credits from the film school in New York transferred with such weight that I didn't really have to take a lot of classes for my major, and I could just sort of take whatever I wanted. So I took a lot of really interesting and random classes. But all the while, I was mostly just trying to put a band together.
Okay, thank you. At what point and how did Yonder Mountain String Band come into your picture? And why do you think the band has enjoyed such great and continuous success?
Well, I was in a bunch of bands in Boulder, and I went, and one of those bands had a show up in Nederland. And after that show, I met Jeff Austin. He came up and introduced himself to me and said, that he had just moved to town, and he had a banjo player friend who was moving to town in the next couple of days, and we should get together and play music. And I think it was, you know, at least a month or so before we connected again. But we went up to a weekly bluegrass pick in Nederland that was at a place called The Verve, which is a restaurant there. And there were probably, 15, 20 people at the bluegrass pick, but Jeff and Dave and myself, and they had, in the meantime, met Adam. And so we snuck off into a corner and played music together, maybe a couple songs. I remember one of them being Pig in a Pen. And we realized that we sang harmony well together fairly naturally. We were all of the same age. We didn't really have jobs that we cared about, and we didn't have girlfriends. And so that's pretty much a good recipe for getting into a van and trying to start a band. But the truth is, I knew right away that there was something special about that group and that, you know, gathering of people. I could just tell, and I don't know why. I guess I don't really feel like I need to spend too much time thinking about why. It's just one of those things that you are presented with sometimes in this life where you know you have to pursue it or follow it. It seems like the light comes on and the path is illuminated, and it would be a mistake to not follow it. So we did. And it has been, you know, a whirlwind in a lot of ways. I can't believe it's 21 years later. You know, that seems crazy to me. Yeah. But, and I don't know exactly why we're lucky enough to, you know, to still have such an amazing career. I think we work really hard. Everyone is really talented. You know, we've obviously gone through a transition with us and Jeff, you know, deciding to part ways about 5-6 years ago. But that transition, we navigated it and have come through it to be, yes, a different sounding band, a different band in energy and sound, but the spirit is still there. And I don't know exactly, you know, I guess it's a blessing, you know, a lot of hard work, but also a blessing to still have a career in music after 2 decades.
What do you think Jacob Jolliffe and Ali Krell have brought to the picture? And because word is that Yonder, since they've showed up on your scene, that Yonder is even tighter, more polished, more adventurous, and more compelling than ever before. So talk about the newest additions to Yonder, even though it's been a couple of years now.
Yeah, Ali is one of these people that she's rare in that she's naturally born with this charisma. I guess I refer to it as an X factor, for lack of a better description. She just has something, and some people that I've met in this music business have it, and you can't teach it and you can't fake it. She's an incredibly gifted violinist and fiddle player. She's a wonderful singer, but her gift is this X factor where people resonate with her energy. And it's one of those things that we could puzzle over for until our batteries ran out on our cell phones, trying to figure out why. And I don't know that there's a good answer, except for some people have it, whatever it is. And it's amazing to get to watch her share her energy with people and to be a part of it, you know, myself.
And Jacob?
Jacob. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just talk about Jacob now.
Yeah. Jacob is different. Jacob is, in my opinion, if he isn't already, he will go down as being one of the great musicians to ever pick up a mandolin. He has been playing the mandolin since he was 6 or 7 years old, And I can only imagine that, because knowing what I know about him now, his practice routine, his dedication to his instrument, it's on a level that is so far beyond anything else I've ever experienced or witnessed. It seems very normal to me now, but he's an incredibly dedicated and talented musician. Technically the best musician I've ever played with in my life.
Wow.
And I've gotten to play with some pretty amazing people. He's just on a different level than anyone else I know, and he surrounded himself too with a bunch of friends where he lives in Brooklyn that I think are equally great. But Jacob is a special musician, and again, you don't run across too many of those. In the 21 years I've been doing this professionally, I certainly haven't run across too many of them. But it's not so much that, yes, I think Jacob was born with a talent or a predisposition to be talented at music, comes mm-hmm. from a musical family as well. But mm-hmm. his dedication to his instrument is the thing that's really set him apart. And he's just as advanced a player as you could ever hope to hear. And it's incredible to witness the things that he does regularly and makes seem so easy and graceful. I just happen to have a sneak peek into what it takes to be, at his level. And it's an incredible amount of work and dedication.
Okay,
so they've brought some very, unique talents and energy to our band. And in that way, I think they have elevated what we do to certainly a different level. Whether people prefer it or not, I don't know. But it's certainly every day that we get to play music together is an adventure. Certainly love it.
Thank you. So let's drill down to Telluride. Would you talk about Telluride and specifically how the Bluegrass Festival here has influenced Yonder's trajectory, and why do you keep coming back to town year after year to play that festival and the Opera House?
Well, the easy answer to the second half of your question is we come every year because Craig Ferguson asked us to. Mm-hmm. And we will absolutely show up and perform at any of his festivals that he wants to have us at. We've been blessed to have his support over the years. It's to perform at Telluride is to immediately have an opportunity to play music for and hopefully to impress an incredible gathering of music fans. Mm-hmm. And often these fans have musical ability themselves. It's certainly I don't know that there's a better festival that I've ever been to for so many reasons. Location counts a lot, but there's a reason why you have these, paragons of the scene showing up every year. There's a reason why, so when people say Sam Bush is the king of Telluride, that evokes so much more than just a man playing his music on, in a town. There's something special and spiritual and sacred to the Bluegrass Festival. For me as a performer, getting to be there, where you realize that, it just seems like it counts more. Telluride just counts more than the other ones. It's worth more in terms of the experience.
I'm sure that's going to be music to Craig's ears. So thank you for that answer.
Sure.
And then finally, let's talk about what you're bringing this year, which is something special. This request from Craig and company to put together a very special first grass set. So would you talk about the supergroup you and Adam put together and and what Festivarians can expect from First Grass.
So we have Andy Thorne, who is the incredible banjo player from Leftover Salmon, and Steve Mogin, who plays guitar in Sam Bush's band, but he will be singing and playing mandolin in this for this set. And I think we're going to do kind of like a greatest hits of our respective bands. Definitely play some traditional bluegrass tunes as well. But you find there's always something fun when you get musicians together that, you know, their main gig is doing, you know, something, and then you take them out of that context and you plug them into this new thing, and magic often happens. You support each other in ways that's slightly different, and these, you know, when you play music together for 5, 10, 15, or 20 years or more, you become very familiar with how to interact and support your bandmates. But when you take these incredibly talented people and put them in a new context, then new things happen. And that's really exciting. And I think, I don't know if we might only have 75 minutes for that set. So we're going to have to get a lot of music in while we can. You know, that 75 minutes flies by in the blink of an eye. So I think we're just going to ask everybody to perform two or three of their favorite songs, certainly, you know, have a high energy experience.
I am sure it will be. And thank you very much. This has been Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Really delighted to be speaking with Ben Kaufman. You know him as the bass player from Yonder Mountain String Band. He and guitarist Adam Ajala have put together this super group that's going to open the festival at First Grass, and then again, Yonder will be on the main stage Saturday, June 22nd. Ben, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.